Well, what a joy Easter morning was. I cannot think of a better way to celebrate new life and hear the invitation to venture forth into the world than spending it with all of y'all. It was such a beautiful morning, and after 3 years, I was worried my memories were setting the bar a little too high, that there was no way Easter could live up to the expectations I had in my mind for what that morning needed to be like. And I tell you, the celebration we shared was beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, there were kids everywhere. Did you see children's time? They were everywhere. Oh, and the music sounded amazing. Thank you to the choir. Thank you to Joy and to Peter. Oh, the room looked beautiful. Thank you to all who got flowers in memory or honor of people. What a great way to remember their eternal life than by celebrating Easter with their beautiful blooms all around us. Oh, and then y'all showed up. I mean, we had like 417 people in person plus another 100 some online. Like, it was a big morning. Lots of us celebrating being together. I am still giddy thinking about it. And I'm seeking to be intentional in carrying that energy forward, right? Because Easter's not a destination. It's not the place we finish anything. It's the day we begin. It's the day we start. And I think that's important. It actually ties to the very message of Easter. We begin at Easter. We don't conclude at Easter. This is new life, right? Not an ending. And so in these weeks to come, we are going together to be considering the invitation of Easter and carrying that life forward. Now, yeah, that invitation isn't so easy, but it is so necessary for us to continually know and receive new life. Because we are invited into the world. We're invited out of our own experiences, out of our comfort zones. We're invited out of the ways we've always done it, out of the ruts we find ourselves in. We are invited out of the cynical, protective shells we sometimes develop. We're invited out of apathy or lethargy. We are invited out of our own determined courses and expectations for how things should be. We're invited out of all of those things and into new life in the world. We are invited into the world of relationships and service, into the world of grace and justice. We are invited into the world as God envisions and desires it. And so the joy and the glow of Easter invites us to break forth with it. I mean, Jesus went into the world upon leaving that tomb, and he spent time offering the same support and encouragement for his disciples that they might do the same. Most of the Gospels in the Bible don't tell much after Easter morning. It's like, he's risen indeed, close the book. But the experience of the risen Christ was impactful, and it was recorded in many places. And one of those places that tells the story after Easter morning is the book of Acts. So let's hear the opening chapter from the book known as the Acts of the Apostles. Evelyn?
The first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, he said. This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but only in a few days will you be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Jesus replied, It isn't for you to know the times or seasons the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood stood next to them. They said, Galileans, why are you standing here looking towards heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven.
I love the book of Acts. I mean, I have dozens and dozens of Bibles. I mean, like, an obscene number of Bibles. But a number of years ago, I was given a new copy, but not the whole thing. I was given a small paperback copy of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. It was just those two books, Luke and Acts. And I guess maybe it was for those who might be intimidated by the larger tome, right? Like, here, it's very accessible. Start here. Now, these two books, Luke and Acts, were paired together because they're actually a set. They were written by the same author. You can hear the reference in the opening words, right? In my previous scroll I wrote, he's talking about the book of Luke. And then he begins writing the book of Acts. This two-book set, however, this little copy that I got, this little paperback, had the most phenomenal name. Written across the cover, it said, Kingdom Come, Kingdom Go. I love this. It is theologically and rhetorically brilliant. Right? The book of Luke is kingdom come. Christ's birth and life and ministry, the death, the resurrection, all of it, right, is God's kingdom arriving incarnate. Jesus tells us in the Gospels, including Luke, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's all around you. It's on your doorstep. Kingdom come. But what now? Okay, the kingdom's come. How shall thy will be done, to borrow a phrase? Kingdom come. Kingdom go. It's like a Dr. Seuss book. I love it. Because that's us. This is the us part. Kingdom come, kingdom go. It's our invitation. But like any doting parent before they send their child on their way, or any friend who just has one more thing to say before they take leave, there always seems to be a few extra words right at departure. Right, any departure in our lives has the official goodbye, and then like this little appendix of extra thoughts. Oh, okay, bye now. Yeah, but before you go. Okay, I'm leaving, but before I go. You know, there's always those extra little thoughts we have to toss in. Well, before you go, this is what Jesus does in the opening words of the book of Acts. Before hopping on a cloud and ascending up, up and away, Jesus sneaks in just a little bit more and offers three quick reminders. Jesus says, remember what you've been through, don't go alone, and set your sights broadly. These are Jesus' real quick, before you go kind of comments. Hey, I'm leaving, but before I go, just real quick, three more things. I mean, it's interesting. He appeared to the disciples for a period of over 40 days. He was speaking to them about God's kingdom. And what was he doing? He was inviting them to remember what they've been through. Inviting us to remember what we've been through. I mean, technically this is all old hat, right? Jesus has been talking about these things before. He spent 3 years helping these folks learn all about the kingdom. But 40 extra days can't hurt, right? He wants to make sure they remember, especially now that they have more context. It's also worth noting the conversations that unfold are shared around a table. The scripture names that it happened, and I love this, while they were eating together. Jesus sat together with them at a table again. I mean, what was that last meal we just heard about a couple weeks ago? You know, the Last Supper thing, right? That was a meal focused all about remembering. And so what does Jesus do? Sits them around the table again so they can remember once more. This meal was focused on remembering. And Jesus joins them at the table again and again over these days to anchor them so they will not forget who they are and where they came from. And before you go, there's nothing better to be reminded than who you are and where you come from. I tell you, over at the parsonage next door, we have been organizing and purging a lot in our house. Several trips to Ark, a lot of things like, do we need this? Have we opened this box in the 10 years that we've lived here? Maybe we can get rid of some of it, that kind of stuff. And I was handed a box to go through that read, Brad's Special Stuff. That's what the side of the box read. And I was going through it asking, is this still special? Or is the memory in my heart? All those little kind of Marie Kondo kind of moments. And I'm going through this box and I found a little note card. This little note card with a beautiful picture on the front, and it was from my grandpa, my mom's dad. He wasn't big on words when you were in person with him. He was a very quiet, reflective man. Sometimes you just get a chuckle out of him every once in a while, and that was about it. But during my first month of college, I got a note card from him in the mail when I lived in the dorms. And of course, it opened, as any Midwestern letter does, with a couple notes about the weather. And then he talked a little bit about his volunteer docent position at the museum and how many new exhibits they had, all those kinds of things. And then he sort of wrapped up the letter almost abruptly with this line. I know you're in your first month of college. I will not tell you what to do or what not to do. I know how you were raised, and I trust you. That's the kind of love that I hear in Jesus sitting with his disciples, right? As he reminds his disciples, as he reminds us before we go out into the world, Jesus invites us to remember what we've been through with him. I know the things I've taught you, and I trust you. Then Jesus offers another before you go kind of a moment. Jesus looks at the disciples and says, don't go alone. Because Jesus knows life can be a lot. Jesus knows that going out into the world can be overwhelming and intimidating. So before they go, Jesus invites them to not go alone. Hear these words again. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what God had promised. He said, this is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to talk about this whole Holy Spirit thing again in Pentecost, which is not too far away. But Jesus doesn't want them going out into the world alone. But this invitation to not go alone, it applies to us as well. Going it alone is tough. Maybe you've had someone be there for you in the way that Jesus is inviting us to consider the divine presence and the invitation to be community together. Maybe you've been there, right? That person who says, I know you got this long drive ahead of you. Let me go with you just so you've got some company. Or maybe if it's not a person on a trip, maybe it's that person who calls to check in and talk through things with you when the world is upside down. Hey, I know you're going through a lot. I just want to check in and hear how you're doing. Right, those people who make sure we're not alone in the midst of life. Those are the folks that make the journey easier. They're the ones who make us stronger. And they do so because they care for us. And so it is with God's presence and Christ's desire for us. That God's presence might be there with us and alongside us to encourage, to console, to advise, to just be with us. This is what Jesus asks of us, that we would acknowledge that not only do we have the need for the divine presence, but to acknowledge that the offer is being extended and awaits. We don't have to go it alone because we go in God's grace and in good company with one another. We do. We have one another on this journey. But then after two already of these before you go moments, Jesus decides to throw in one more. Okay, before you go though, please, set your sights broadly. The disciples, having heard that Jesus wants them to go into the world, they start talking about the places and the things they know. Oh yeah, we can do this, we can do that. They start chatting about what it'll be like to go out into the world, and they just keep naming the same old stuff. Asking Jesus questions about the people and the places, right? The Jews and the temple, the places they'd already spent all their time, and Jesus is like, no, well, let's think a little bit bigger, shall we? The disciples seem to think he's sending them into what they already know and asking them to go where they've already been. But like we talked about on Easter, it isn't new life if you return to where you were and how you were. New life is more. So instead, Jesus asks them to set their sights broadly. Did you hear him? You will be my witnesses in not only in Jerusalem, but in all of Judea and Samaria. And just to make sure they get the point, he says, to the very ends of the earth. No one gets left out. No one is too far. No one is too far gone. Talk about a broad horizon. This is one heck of a before you go kind of a comment. Before you go, know that I want you to go to the ends of the earth. Say what, Jesus? To say this in a less imposing way, I hear Jesus saying, I don't want you to get stuck in what you know. I don't want you to get stuck where you've been. I don't want your experiences to limit what God can do. Jesus is asking us not to limit ourselves and God's potential. In fact, I return to the words of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who said, "If we believe it not possible, how shall we ever attain it? If we don't look at the horizon with ambition, but instead only look 3 feet in front of us out of habit or fear. If we're only looking right there, we will encounter very little in life, not only for lack of distance, but for lack of view." Jesus does not want the disciples. Jesus does not want us to limit the possibility of God's kingdom for ourselves or for those we might share it with. Jesus keeps offering these little reminders so that we might truly embody all that kingdom go can look like, that we would be successful on our journey into new life, that we might receive the gifts of Easter every step of the way. And so as we go, Jesus looks and says, "Hey, before you go, hear the invitation. Amen."